Happy Easter, everyone. So great to see you. I'm glad you're here at Centerville. I want to welcome Springboro, that's our campus to the south, and Northmont, the campus to the north, and Classics. And if you didn't know this, we are one church in three different locations, and it's really great to have you here. For those of you that come on a regular basis, happy Easter to you. We're so glad you're here, because this is the most important Sunday, literally, of the year. So if you're here as a guest, many of you have been invited. We handed those little cards to you, round cards, and we're so glad you're here. If you're family visiting in town, we are very honored. If this is your first time in church, or maybe you've just been gone for a little while, welcome home. We're glad you're here. Sit back and take it all in as we celebrate Easter. It's really the most important week. In fact, it's this week that helps us to celebrate the other 51 weeks of the year. We believe that this is the week where we draw a line, and because Jesus is alive and all that means for us, that you and I can have a fresh start, that something can change in our lives today. And so we're so glad that you're here on this special Easter. We go all out here at Fairhaven because it's such an important Sunday for us as we celebrate our Savior that is risen. You know, some of you know that last week about 40 of us from Fairhaven were in Israel. And it was a great time. And one of the reasons why I'm so excited to be here on Easter is because I was actually in Israel, in Jerusalem, and we happened to have the opportunity to see many of the things that you would know in the Easter story. We were actually in Bethlehem, too. And Bethlehem, as you know, is the location where Jesus was born. We got a chance to go to that church and look at the site where Jesus was born. And we actually looked over the fields where the shepherds were watching over their sheep and the flocks that were there. At least they think that was the field that was there. And pretty important, pretty exciting. And while we were in Bethlehem, we also had to go to Starbucks. We needed a cup of coffee, and we were in Bethlehem, and so we went to Starbucks, and I got the mug to prove it in my office. It says Bethlehem on it, Starbucks. It's a pretty awesome little mug there. I walked into the coffee shop with a bunch of the folks from Fairhaven, and I walked in, and I said, hey, we want to get some coffee. And the guy looked at me, and he said it. This is the second time it's happened to me. He said, Liam. This is Liam Neeson right here. I don't know if you know him or not. He's on the Hallmark Channel often. It's the second time it's happened to me. 2 years ago, some of you know, I was in at the Atlanta airport, and some guy came up and said, hey, Liam. And I go, no, I'm not Liam. I'm just David Smith. And he wouldn't stop, and so I had to actually sign an autograph, Liam Neeson, to get him to go away. And I'm in Bethlehem, and he calls me Liam, and so we're going to settle this once and for all right here in all of our campuses. Yes or no? Help me out here. Do I actually look like Liam Neeson? I'm going to turn a little bit to the right here. So thumbs up, yes. Thumbs up, down. Help me out here, Fairhaven, in all of our locations. Let me see which one it is. Yeah, who cares, right? I mean, the reality is it doesn't matter if you recognize who I am or if you recognize who Liam Neeson is. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. It's so great to have you here. What we're praying for, what I have been praying for, what many here at Fairhaven have been praying for, is that you will actually recognize Jesus. That on this Easter weekend, that you will recognize Jesus. I'm going to take you to a story in the New Testament, and we've offered Bibles to you, and typically I don't put the scripture on the screens, and here's why. If you're brand new or a guest here in any of our campuses, it's because we want you to hold the Bible yourself or open your devices up, but on Easter Sunday, I'm going to do that for you, but you can follow along if you will, because I'm going to read a story to you of two guys who didn't recognize Jesus. And then after a while, as Jesus spent some time with them, they began to recognize him. And that's my prayer for you, that as we rehearse the Easter story, as we think about the fact that the tomb is empty, that somehow maybe you'll go from barely recognizing Jesus to completely recognizing him. Or if you've already recognized him in your life, to maybe recognize him in a new way on this Easter Sunday morning. And so if you have a Bible and you want to turn with me, it's in Luke chapter 24. It's in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And if you don't know where that's at, you can certainly look in the table of contents, and it'll help you to find it there in Luke chapter chapter 24, a very interesting story. It happened on the day of resurrection, on the day when Jesus was risen from the tomb, and this story is very, very interesting, and we'll learn some things out of this story that I think will help us as we desire today to recognize who Jesus is. The story starts out for us in verse 13. It says, now that same day, so this is the same day that Jesus arose from the dead. If you look in the verses earlier in Luke chapter 24, you'll see that three ladies actually went to the tomb. They saw that it was empty. They were a little confused. So they went back and told all the 11 disciples. The reason why there's 11, not 12, is because Judas betrayed him, right? Remember that? And so they went and told these guys and said, hey, the tomb is empty and we're confused. And so Peter ran off by himself because he had to see it for himself. That's kind of who Peter is. And he ran to see and he looked in and it was empty and he was confused. And so we pick up our story in verse 13. Now that same day, so this is Easter Sunday, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. For those of you that have been to Israel, that's 7 miles to the west of Jerusalem. Some of us were just there in Jerusalem a week ago. Amazing. So 7 miles from Jerusalem, the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. There was a lot that had happened that week. I mean, it started off with this huge Passover celebration. People were coming in from all over Israel, as they did every year, to Jerusalem. And you know the story that Jesus went to the garden and he prayed. And he said, Heavenly Father, you and I both know what's going to happen here. And if there's any other way, if there's any other way, but your will be done. He was arrested. I mean, the word got out. He was flogged, he was slapped, he was spit on, he was mocked. He was bantered back and forth among the officials there in Jerusalem, and then he was hung on a cross. The Roman crucifixion was the worst kind of death. The Bible tells us that his knees weren't broken, and that was typical of a crucifixion where they would break the person's knees. That way they couldn't push themselves up to get any breath, and Jesus died. It is finished, he said. They placed him in a tomb, and he had promised all of his disciples that were there, he promised them that 3 days later he would walk away from that tomb. See, being in Jerusalem last week, we had the opportunity to go to this place right here. This is called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. They believe that this is actually the site of where Jesus' tomb is. They built this massive church around it, beautiful structure. And then here is actually the stone or the tomb that they believe that Jesus was buried in. And so they built this little structure around it as well. And there are millions and millions of people that come here every single year to visit. And they walk in and they walk out. And so I had the opportunity one day really early. I was able to go inside. And as I went inside, let me tell you what I saw. Nothing. It was empty. There were no bones. There was no smell. It was completely empty. And you see, all these millions of people that visit this every single year, I wonder, do they really recognize the significance of the fact that the tomb is empty? What a great opportunity that we had to be able to be there. Well, the story goes on that as they were talking and discussing about these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside this. Now, I don't know if you can get your head around this, but on Easter Sunday morning, Jesus was raised from the dead, and he found two men, two guys that were talking, and they were confused about this whole thing, and he shows up. He walks with them. And this is a great thing for us to think about on Easter Sunday, because this tells me that no matter where you are in your life, Jesus always encounters us wherever we go. Some of you probably were raised in a faith tradition that said, you need to chase after God. You got to run after God, and you got to run hard after him. In fact, you got to chase him so hard because he's hard to catch. And you got to run and run and run, and that couldn't be further from the truth. You see, no matter where you're at, in any one of our campuses, even those of you that are online, doesn't matter where you're at around the world, here's the great news. You don't have to chase after God. You just have to recognize that he's there. Because he's right with us. He will find you wherever you are. Jesus always encounters us. Some of you are saying, no, David, you have no idea what's happened in my life. I probably don't. I know about my life. And I know that there was a moment in my life where I had to realize that God was right there. And I'm so glad that I discovered that and that I recognized him. And I've been walking with him for all these many, many years. And this Easter, I want you to contemplate if you're walking with Jesus as well. And so here they were, and Jesus comes up, and it says, but they were kept from recognizing him. This is actually a confusing word for me. They were kept from recognizing him. Why were they kept from recognizing him? They didn't recognize who Jesus was. So if you want to get your pens out, you can jot this down, because this is a little bit confusing of why they were kept and recognizing him. I'll tell you exactly what this means. Are you ready? You can write this down. I have no idea. I don't know if it's because, you know, because Jesus had been risen from the dead, if he was in a state where they didn't recognize him. I don't know if God the Father kept them from recognizing him because of the conversation they're just about ready to have. I don't know if these guys were so confused about the situation where their heads were down and they're walking on this path and they didn't recognize him. I know that's happened to me before, probably you as well, you know, where you're talking to somebody and somebody walks up, one of my sons sometimes will walk up and I don't even recognize that he's there because I'm so engaged in the conversation. And maybe that's what happened. We don't know. But they didn't recognize him. So here's the question for Easter. Question that I want you to rattle around in your head is this. Who is Jesus to you? Will you recognize Jesus this week, this weekend? Will you recognize Jesus on this Easter? So here they were walking along this journey, lots had happened, there was a big buzz in the city, and it'd be like Ohio State winning the national championship. Which, by the way, hasn't happened for about 4 years, but if it did, right, everybody would be talking about it. Equally, if Michigan had won, everybody would be talking about it, right? And so in the city, there was all kinds of buzz that was happening there. And so Jesus said this. He said, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood, and their faces were downcast. They were confused. They were sad. Perhaps even hopeless in their life. So on Easter Sunday morning, these two guys had come out of Jerusalem, and they were sad. They were confused. They were hopeless. Chances are there's at least one somewhere in any one of our campuses, you might be sad. You might be downcast. You might be somewhat hopeless. You came on the best weekend to celebrate what Jesus did. Because you see, the resurrection proves everything. It proves everything. Jesus is the Son of God. He said he was going to die. He said he was going to come back to life, and he did that. It proves everything. In fact, that's why Easter celebration is so important. It's not the lunches that you will go to. It's not the dinners that you've been at. It's not the baskets that you will give your kids. It's not the candy. Nothing wrong with that. It's none of that. It's really what Jesus did in walking away from the grave. It proves everything for us. And do you know that it is possible for you and I to celebrate Easter and still end up sad? Do you know that you can celebrate Easter with us here in all of our campuses, and you can walk away sad if the resurrection doesn't matter to you? And that's what we see right here in the story. And so one of them, we find out the name of one of them, it's Cleopas. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these last days? So Cleopas says, Jesus, are you the only one? Like, really? You don't know what's going on here? I mean, everybody knows what's going on here. You have no idea what's going on here. And so Jesus asked this question, what things? Because he wants them to explain to him what is actually going on. So they do. Here's what they said. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet. Uh-oh. They just gave him a demotion. Do you realize that every religion in the world calls him a prophet? Except us. See, he's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one that God sent. He's the one and only Son that died and was resurrected on our behalf. He is the Son of God. They demoted him, a prophet. So they said, it's about Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, powerful in words and deed before God and all the people. You know, there's lots of people that believe that Jesus was a prophet. I mean, it's undeniable that Jesus walked this planet. There are eyewitnesses. Historians write about it. Lots of people believe in what Jesus said. I mean, it's good wisdom for you. It's good advice, at least. But you see, we believe it goes beyond that. We believe it's actually the words of God to us because Jesus is the Son of God. And they're having this conversation. And they go on and said, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him, but we had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. See, they thought that the Messiah, Jesus, was going to come in and overthrow Rome. But he had a better plan than that. He was going to overthrow sin. That's even better, don't you think, church? That's even better. And so they lost hope. And what is more, it is the third day. So these two guys knew that Jesus had said, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to be raised. They just were confused about the whole thing. And so the third day, since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. Three of them actually went to the tomb and saw that it was empty. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. Of course they didn't. They came and told us what they had seen. They'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Church, he's alive. It's about right there where you say amen. Let me try that again. He is alive. Amen. Classics, he's alive. Northmont, Springboro, he's alive. They even said that. Then some of the companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. They did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish, Jesus says, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah, you notice that? Jesus calls himself the Messiah. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Now, I want you to notice, Jesus didn't call them fools. He just said it's foolish for us not to understand. Let me define foolish for you, because I've been there, and maybe some of you are there right now. See, when Jesus talks about the word fools or foolish, this is what he means. Foolish is when you know what God wants, but you don't trust that it'll work or that it'll matter. And you do what you want to do anyway. That's foolish. I've been there. See, I was raised in church. And I realized one day in my life that I wanted Jesus to ride along, but I wasn't sure I wanted him to be in control. And I realized I knew what he wanted. I just wasn't sure I wanted to trust it. So I did my own thing. Until I realized that that had to be reversed, and it changed everything in my life. Foolish is when you know what God wants and you don't trust that it'll work or that it'll matter, and you do whatever you want anyway. That's foolish. And then Jesus does what is the best part of the story. And if you have your Bibles open, you're going to want to underline this section, because this for me is the climax of the whole story. This is absolutely amazing. This is why I wanted to celebrate this with you on this Easter weekend, because Jesus does this, and he starts with Moses, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, that's Jesus, explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus had a Bible study with these guys along the road to Emmaus. I would love to have been there. When he says he explained beginning with Moses, what he means there is the books of Moses. If you were to take your Bible, and again, we'll give you one, but if you look in the very first five books, it goes something like this. Say it with me if you know it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's called the books of Moses, or the Torah. These two men in the first century would have known it inside and out. They knew it. They could quote it. In fact, if you go to Israel today, even the Jews there can quote much of the Torah, those five books. But Jesus explained these five books, starting in Genesis, which is pretty interesting because Jesus shows up in Genesis. And so starting in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then he goes to the prophets, Amos, Jeremiah, the different prophets that we have in the Old Testament, and he begins to explain all the prophecies. I would have loved to have been there, because there are 353 prophecies in the Old Testament. That's a lot of them. 353 prophecies, 98 of them are explicit to Jesus, meaning they describe what's going to happen in his life. They describe that his legs were not going to be broken. They describe that he was going to be crucified. They describe that he was going to die. They describe that he is going to come back to life. I mean, 98 were specific, and the other prophecies were alluding to who Jesus is as the Messiah. 98 of them. Now, if you were to study only 8 of these 98, the probability of 8 of these prophecies coming true over the course of hundreds and thousands of years is this right here: 1 in 10 to the 17th power. The probability of fulfillment of these 98 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, I know it's Easter, and some of you don't even like math. All right, so let me help you here, because I had to do a little work here, because math is, you know, it's difficult. Let me tell you what 1 in 10 to the 17th power is. That's that right there. 100 quintrillion. 1 in 100 quintrillion. That's the probability of these prophecies coming true. And Jesus is explaining all of this. He's talking to these two guys, and starting with the book of Moses and through the prophets, and he's just going through all of it. This is hard to get my head around. Anybody else? Let me give you another illustration. Let's say you were to take a silver dollar, such as this right here, and you were to mark a silver dollar, one silver dollar, and then you would take a silver dollar and place it somewhere in the state of Ohio, and then you would take silver dollars and place them all over the entire state of Ohio. Every square inch of Ohio would be covered with silver dollars. And so all over the state of Ohio, there'd be silver dollars everywhere, and you would stack it 12 feet high. 12 feet high. And then I would blindfold one of you and say, you can go anywhere you want in the state of Ohio out of all the silver dollars that are lying on the state of Ohio, and you can pick one. And if you pick that one that I marked, that is a 1 in 100 quintillion probability. That's pretty hard, don't you think? And Jesus was explaining all of this. And so then, as they're walking along, they begin to approach the village to which they were going. But Jesus continued on as he was going a little bit further, like he wasn't going to stop at Emmaus. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. Does that sound familiar? Let me try that again. He took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. He was having communion with them. He took bread, broke it, and began to give it to them, and their eyes were open, and they recognized him. Love it. They recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Would you agree that if Jesus can walk away from a tomb, that he can disappear from their sight? Would you agree with that? And he disappeared, and they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" It'd be like, have you ever sat in your office and thought to yourself, you know, I feel like maybe God is saying something to me? Or have you ever been at church and you thought to yourself, you know what, God is speaking directly to me, like in the inside of my heart, I just kind of feel like maybe he's talking to me or leaning in and nudging me in a certain area. Or maybe you've heard a song and you're like, man, that song, the words of that song hit me so hard. It was kind of like something happened on the inside. This is what's going on with these two guys. And so the question is from this story here, how do we recognize him? Let me give you 3 quick ways this Easter for you to recognize Jesus, because this could change the way you see him. This could change your life. And so 3 ways to recognize Jesus. First, to recognize Jesus means that you have to acknowledge that you want something better in your life. These guys wanted something better in their life. They just missed it, but they wanted something better in their life. And you see, all of us, whether you're here at Centerville or Northmont Springboro Classics, we all want something better. And if you're going to go on vacation, here's what I know about you. Most of us will go on and look at TripAdvisor. And here's the reason why, because you and I want to go to a place that's better. And so you go on TripAdvisor and you look at the reviews and you make sure that the place you're going to is better than the one that maybe you were thinking about going to. Or if you're going to go to a restaurant, you can click onto an app and you can look at the reviews there because you don't want to go to a good restaurant. You want to go to a better restaurant, right? If you're looking for a mechanic, you can go on their website and you can look at the reviews there and you're going to read them to find out, you know, did he do a good job? Did she do a good job? Did, you know, and so you're going to read those reviews because you want better in your life. It happens in every aspect of our life. We all want better, but in our spiritual lives, to recognize Jesus means that you got to acknowledge that you want something better. The problem is defining what better is. Here's what better is. Better is when you know what God wants and you're going to trust Him. That's better. There are some of you that have come in this weekend and you probably are just going through the motions because the reality is you're not sure if you can trust Him. I get it. I mean, things happen in our lives and it makes it very difficult. I would suggest to you that if you trust Him, that would be a way that you could recognize who Jesus is. Because to recognize Jesus means that you acknowledge that you want to know what God wants and you're going to trust it. What would it be like if Easter 2018, you trusted God and you just drew a line and said, you know what, I'm going to start anew. I'm going to start fresh in my life. And I'm going to, right now, I'm going to trust God. You may have trusted God in the past, but you're going to make a statement today and say, you know what, I'm going to trust God because I want what's better in my life, because that's what it means on Easter to recognize who Jesus is. There's a second way to recognize who Jesus is, and that's this. To recognize Jesus means to experience hope restored. When life kind of hits you and you weren't expecting it, you know what I know about you because it happened to me? Your hope is diminished. If something is going on in your life and you didn't expect it, it's easy for your hope to be diminished. If in your life you had a plan and that plan isn't going the way you planned it, you know what's, it's easy to happen in your life, your hope is diminished, perhaps even to the point where you're hopeless. The beauty of Easter is that when you recognize Jesus, your hope can be restored. You can say, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you, and I ask that you give me hope, because that's where joy is found. See, when you find hope inside your heart, that's where joy is found. And on Easter Sunday, what better weekend than any other weekend to say, you know what, I want my hope to be restored. And to recognize Jesus means to experience hope restored in your life. What would it be like if this Easter you said, God, I want to place my hope in you. I want my hope to be restored. Your circumstances aren't what you wanted. Your circumstances have surprised you. It doesn't matter. You're going to restore your hope because of what Jesus can do. He can do the impossible. See, these two guys, their hope had been diminished until they recognized Jesus, and then their hope was restored. That's what Easter is about, to recognize Jesus so our hope is restored. Thirdly, to recognize Jesus means to move from knowing about Jesus to surrendering to Jesus. Again, when I was living in California as a 22-year-old, what I recognized growing up in the church is that I wanted God to ride with me. I wanted Jesus to ride with me. I wanted to be in control. I wanted to be the one to make the determination of where I was going to go. And it didn't dawn on me until I began to study on my own that a life with God, a relationship with God, means that I turn over my life to Him. Means that I don't take Jesus with me. I go with Jesus where He's taking me. See the difference? That's a big difference. Let me illustrate it this way. It's a difference of moving from being the driver to riding shotgun. You know what shotgun is, right? It's when you ride in the passenger seat. That's a big deal in our house with four sons. I mean, anytime we're going to go somewhere, I mean, on the way out the door, there's this big fight. Shotgun, shotgun, and they have an argument about who's going to sit in the front seat. Never mind, mom is almost in the trunk, you know. And so, I mean, shotgun. And in fact, I remember one time we were planning vacation, and we were telling the boys, all right, guys, this is what we're going to do. And 2 days from now, we need you to pack, and we're going to get ready to go. And we need you to pack the Suburban because we're all going to travel together. We're having a meeting. It's 2 days before we're leaving. We're having a meeting, and one of them says, shotgun. You can't do that 2 days in advance. Am I right, parents? You can't do that 2 days in advance. Do you know where we get the term shotgun? I did a little research. Shotgun comes from the stagecoach days. You see, shotgun is this guy right here, where this guy isn't driving the stagecoach. He's not in control of the stagecoach. He's actually going where the driver is going. The driver is in control. The driver determines where we go, but the guy sitting shotgun, he's involved. He's certainly involved, but he's not in control. That's where we get the term shotgun. Some of you, you're in the driver's seat. And here's what I know about you, because I know it about me when I was 22. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to be the leader of your own life. It's exhausting to be in control of your own life. It's exhausting to make sure that everything in life is dependent on you. It's absolutely exhausting. And the beauty of Easter is to say, you know what, I'm exhausted. And I want to move from driving to riding shotgun. What would Easter look like if you made that decision in your life? You see, to recognize Jesus means that you move from knowing about Jesus to surrendering to Jesus. You ride shotgun. See, to recognize Jesus means that you see that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Easter is all about. And so let me go back to the question, who is Jesus to you? I want to give you an opportunity today to recognize Jesus maybe in a whole new way. You might be here today and you know what God wants, you're just not willing to trust it. But on this Easter, you can draw a line and say, I'm willing to trust him. You may be following him, you're just not trusting him, and you can draw that line today. You may be here and you're not even sure about your hope. You just know that it's diminished. It's a lot smaller than it was a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. And it doesn't matter if you haven't been in church in a year, 2 years, if your hope is so low, perhaps even hopeless, today can be your day. You can establish hope. Hope can be restored in your life. Or you're here today, and perhaps you have never, like I did at 22, you've never discovered the fact that you're riding in control. You're the driver, and you want to move to shotgun, and you want to do that today. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, but before I do, I want to read it for you, because I don't think it's fair for you to pray a prayer unless you've heard it first, but this is a prayer that I want everybody to pray out loud. That way, if you want to make a decision today, we're not going to stand you out. You're not going to be isolated. We want to do this all together in all of our campuses, Classic, Springboro, Northmont, right here in Centerville. If you want to make a decision in your life, that you want to trust Jesus, that you want to restore your hope, that you want to move from driver to shotgun. You may want to pray a prayer something like this. These words aren't magical. They just can help kind of put words to what your heart might be feeling. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and offering me grace and forgiveness. I recognize you as my Savior, and I want to experience a relationship with you. I humbly invite you into my life today. I humbly again invite you into my life today. That could be your prayer today if you're here and you want better, meaning you're willing to trust Jesus. This could be your prayer today if you want your hope to be restored. This could be your prayer today if you realize you're exhausted and you want to ride shotgun. We're going to pray this prayer. I'm going to invite you to do that. Would you, in all of our campuses, Classics, Northmont, Springboro, right here in Centerville, let's pray this out loud together. That way, those that really want to pray this can join along. Let's pray together. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and offering me grace and forgiveness. I recognize you as my Savior and want to experience a relationship with you. I humbly invite you into my life today. If you've made that decision, We'd like to know about it. Here's why. Because we want to just say, welcome home. We want to say, let's walk with you. And one of the ways that we can do that is by this card that we've given you. If you wouldn't mind, on all of our campuses, take this bulletin we've given you. If you just take it with me right now, and let's just make sure that it's not awkward for anybody. If we do it all at the same time, it won't be awkward. See, the top part tears off. Would you just do that in all of our campuses? Let's just do it right now. Springboro, Northmont, help me out here, Classics, right here at Centerville. We'll just tear this off. Just tear the top off. Just rip it off right now. If you've been at Fairhaven for any length of time, we do this every single Easter. Easter is so important that we believe that we need to do this every Easter. So if you've torn this off and you want to declare to God, not to us, although we'll just walk with you. If you want to declare to God the decision that you've made on the far right-hand side of that top card that you just tore off, it says, I recognize who Jesus is for the first time, and I want a relationship with him. You want to ride shotgun? Just check that box. I'd like to send a letter to you and offer a couple of options that will help you get started in this new journey of faith in your life. Second box says, I recognize who Jesus is again, and I'm rededicating my life to him. You might be here today and you haven't trusted him in a while. Your hope has been diminished. And you're drawing a line, and maybe you want to just check that box today. We'd like to encourage you in that process. Here's the good news. At Fairhaven Church, we welcome skeptics. So if you're here and you're not convinced, we want to still journey with you. We want to answer questions. We don't have all the answers, but we'd love to at least dialogue with you. And so maybe the third box is what you want to check that says, I'm intrigued by who Jesus is, but I have more questions. And if you check that, we'll get to you. We'll talk with you. No pressure, no shame, no condemnation. Skeptics are welcome. We'd love for you to recognize Jesus. If it's okay with you, I'm going to ask you to take that card, put your name and email address on there. That way we can get to you and just encourage you. But as we end today, here's the best thing I can do for you. I just want to pray for you. Is that all right? Let me pray for you. God, we thank you. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son who died for us a brutal death. But death couldn't hold him, and he walked away from the grave. And so today, because you are Messiah, because you are the Christ, because you are the Son of God, I pray, God, that you would help us to trust you and that you would restore our hope because we desire to ride shotgun. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the church in all of our locations said, amen.